that no man of, on pain of death should bring again such rumours as the news of an enemy. Not long after the enemy came indeed and besieged, assaulted and sacked the town, of the ruins of which nothing remained but this proverbial epitaph. Here once stood a town that was destroyed by silence. Now that's what we want to be written here. So let's not be silent like Duma. Let's be verbal. Let's call out when people are saying, what of the night? What is going on? Second thing we see here is the warning of the watchman in verse 12. Because in verse 12 he says this, the watchman said, the morning comes and also the night. Now that's the answer, the encryptic answer of the watchman. The morning comes and also the night. He prophesies these two things, morning and night. And as the person is calling out, you know, what of the night? They're saying, how long is it? What's going on? Are we nearly through the night yet? And can you see what's coming? And he's saying the morning is coming and also the night. Now, in one sense, that sounds very obvious, doesn't it? Because evening follows morning. But actually, in the Hebrew, it's the other way around. The day starts with the evening and it goes to the morning. Evening and morning, they were the first day, and so on, as it says in Genesis. So there is a deliberate pattern here. The morning and then comes the night. And what it is agreed among commentators that Isaiah is saying is that, okay, there's something good coming, but there's something bad coming with it. And at this time, when they were frightened about Assyria, they were going to be rescued from Assyria, and we know what God did to Assyria in the days of Hezekiah, where he sent him packing, didn't you? Remember, he sent the plague, would set the angel with the plague to kill all the armies, and Sennacherib went back home. But he said, that's like the morning coming, there's relief, but there's also the night coming, because Babylon is coming afterwards. And these two things are coming. But you know what? We can apply this on our level to where we are in history as well. And we can say to people as well, the morning comes and also the night. And these two things refer to the big events on the prophetic horizon. The morning coming is the rapture of the church. And the night coming is the tribulation, the time of judgment that is coming on the earth for mankind's sin. And these two things are coming together. And what I want to say is this. The morning is coming first. The rapture is coming first, when the Lord Jesus will take us to heaven. And for some of us, it'll be a whole new day. We're going to leave this world behind. A new day is going to dawn in our existence. We're never going to suffer pain again. We're never going to suffer sorrow again. We're never going to cry a tear again. We're never going to be grieved again. We're heading for a new day of blessing and glory. It's wonderful. But at the same time, that's coming. Judgment, night is coming on the world. And you know, the Lord Jesus used night as a symbol of the tribulation, didn't he? He said that his coming would be like a thief in the night. And he also said the night is coming when no man can work, in John chapter 9. It's a picture of the tribulation and the judgment that's coming. And these two things are coming together. There's a dual aspect to this. For some, it will be morning. For others, it will be night. And you and I have the choice which we want that to be. Because he gives us this warning, and he's really saying to us, in effect, you know, you choose which do you want it to be for you. Do you want a new day to dawn, or do you want night like you've never had darkness before? Darkness like the whole land of Egypt, where it was dark and not even a dog moved its tongue. The darkness of sin and Satan and evil on the land. Which do you want it to be in your own life? And you and I have a choice, but both are coming. Personally, I choose the morning. I'm a morning person in that sense. And I'm looking forward to the coming of the Lord to take us home to glory. But we all have that challenge and that choice before us. I'd like to read to you a passage out of a book. This is from a book by Chuck Swindoll. He wrote a book, and I think the book was strengthening your grip or something like this on the Christian life. And he wrote about different aspects of the Christian life, including the Christian's hope of the Lord's return. He says this, and you bear with me, this is a paragraph or so, but it tells a story. He says, "These thoughts remind me of the true story of what happened to a friend of mine many years ago before he became a Christian. He was hitchhiking his way across the United States. Around dusk one evening, when it looked like rain, he was hoping for a car to pull over before the showers began to fall. Sure enough, a car swerved over to his side of the road. The door flew open and he heard the driver say, 'Hop in.' So my friend hopped in, slammed the door, and they took off just as the rain started to fall. Although daylight was rapidly fading, my friend could just make out the words on a small poster that had been stuck to the dashboard. 'Warning: in the event of Christ's return, this driver will disappear. This car will self-destruct.' Then in bold red letters, four final words: 'You better get ready.'" Years later, as he was relating this story to me, I asked him how he felt that eerie evening when he read those words. Smiling, he said, "Well, as a matter of fact, it was spooky. I didn't know whether to write my will, to pray, or to jump." He said, "But I remember doing two things. First, I kept my door unlocked, as if that was going to help. And second, I engaged the driver in non-stop conversation. I figured he wouldn't suddenly disappear if we kept on talking together." But Chuck Swindoll makes this observation. He says, "The driver of the car considered Christ's coming a solid comfort, but the rider viewed it as something spooky, a fearful thought." And you know, that's the choice for all of us, isn't it? Which is it for us? Is it a hope, something we're looking forward to? Or is it something, "Oh, I hope it doesn't happen. I hope it doesn't happen." If you're hoping it doesn't happen, it's because you don't know the Lord yet and you need to get saved. You need to get saved tonight. You need to ask the Lord Jesus to be your Savior, to forgive you of your sins. And that actually then brings us to the final point in this passage, because the witness of the watchman at the end, Isaiah says this, and he says this, remember, to the Edomites. He said, "If you will inquire, return, come back." Now, what does this mean? Some people think the inquire there means, if you want to know more about prophecy, come back and study with me, I'll teach you. Well, that's certainly true. Isaiah was going to teach a lot more things about what was going to happen. But the opinion of several commentators, and I agree with them, is this, is what he's actually doing is he is calling the Edomites, who were the descendants of Esau, to come back to the God of their fathers. You know what's coming is both bad and good. You need to come back to the Lord. The Esau had gone away from the Lord, whereas Jacob walked with the Lord. And his descendants were idolaters. And he's saying, you need to come back. Come back to the faith of your fathers. Put your trust in the Lord and be saved. Return, come back. Warren Wiersbe has pointed out, this is the three words of the gospel message. Inquire is another word for seek. Seek. Return is another word for repent. And come means come. Come. And that's the gospel call today, isn't it? The witness of the watchman is still our message today. Seek the Lord. Repent of your sins. Ask God to forgive you. And come to him. Come to him. You know, the Grenfell Tower tragedy. You know why that happened? Why so many were killed? Was because, tragically, the fire services made a bad mistake. They said to the people, "Stay where you are." They said, "Stay where you are." The people were agitated, but they said, "Stay where you are." Listen, I want to tell you, friends, the message of the Bible is, do not stay where you are. Flee the wrath to come. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Morning is coming and night is coming. You have the choice. It could be the best day ever when Christ comes, or the worst moment of your existence. So if you don't know the Lord, tonight I plead with you. I plead with you. In fact, if you don't know whether you know the Lord, if you've got any fraction of a doubt, then I plead with you, make sure tonight by asking Christ again to be your Lord and Saviour. You know, when I was a young person, I had lots of doubts. I didn't know if I was saved or not at first. Do you know what I figured out? Well, I know what to do to become a Christian. So I'll just do it again. I'll go back to God again and I'll say, Lord, I just want to make sure I am saved. I want to be saved. I want to say sorry for my sins. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Saviour. And I realized that God would receive me as the promise of his word. He would receive me in faith. If you have any doubts tonight, make your calling and election sure, as Peter says. Come to the Lord and be saved. Return. Inquire. Seek him. Return. Come back. Come back even tonight. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? Let's sing our final hymn now, shall we? My hope is built on nothing less.